All right. I am sorry. I'm trying to prepare myself for it. Much and how are you?
I am very good, thank you for asking.
Are you busy? Are you going somewhere?
No, not really. I'm going to have a calm Saturday evening.
I'm not going to let you have a calm Saturday evening. I think I'm too active today. I don't let people enjoy their Saturday evening in peace today. I don't know why.
So, how have you been?
Quite well. It's very cold here, but I guess it's winter, so it has to be cold. It's quite beautiful outside, so everything is white. The trees are white. That's very nice. What about St. Petersburg? Is there any snow?
Yeah, there is some snow, and it's quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when it's cold, you don't really appreciate all this beauty.
I know. You can only appreciate it when you're inside.
Yeah,
and you're looking through the window.
And you prefer just browsing the pictures on a social network.
Yeah.
How beautiful the winter is.
By the way, speaking about the pictures, I saw your photos on Instagram. When was it? It was some kind of party.
It was yesterday. It was a corporate party. It was my first and hopefully last corporate party, because, dear listeners, I'm not going to work in the office anymore. I just decided to join my co-workers because I just thought I need to have this experience of a corporate New Year party.
Oh yes, right, you have never had any.
Exactly, so it was okay. Everyone got drunk, and as they say, you can get to know the people you work with after such kinds of parties. But everything was fine as a place, the restaurant called the White Horse. So the program was quite good. So everything was good, but today I'm feeling a bit broken. And it's not even that I drank yesterday. I don't drink much. I mean, I never have a hangover or things like that. But it's just, you know, you dance all night and then you go home and then it's just the time when you go to bed. That was somewhere around 2:30 in the morning. I'm not 18 anymore, so I kind of feel broken at parties.
Oh, you poor old lady. I am Landish, reporting to you from Narnia, that is Набережные Челны. People here are naked and covered in jelly, celebrating being pranked by Mayans, and the freest of all human beings, who soars like an eagle, the person who sleeps so little that she would have considered an apocalypse a great chance to finally relax. If the Nobel Committee gave out prizes for weirdness, she would have won each and every one of them. The future Miss Kim Jong-un, the Duchess of North Korea, Asia. Oh, yeah, by the way, I was wrong about words that sound like my name. There is a word, outlandish.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it speaks smiles about me, I think.
Yeah. And I guess it sounds a bit German, like landish, like land.
Out. Outlandish.
It sounds German, landish. How do you pronounce your name in French?
Landish.
I remember when I was in the States, people started calling me China. And it all started with when you go to Starbucks, they write the name on the cup. So what's your name? And you tell them your name and how you spell it. They spell it on the cup and then you get your cup. There were a group of my friends, about like 10 people, and the barista asked me like, so what's your name? And I said, Asia. And she was, I guess, just kidding. And she said, so China, this is your coffee. And everyone liked that so much. And people started calling me China. And I didn't mind, actually. It was funny.
The world has not ended. Phew.
I guess it hasn't.
Now I have a room full of matches, candles, and snack bars. This massive delusion that is the end of the world made it to the top most ridiculous news, inexplicably widely covered by the media. I don't know about you, but I think that I'm quite disappointed. If the Mayas...
Disappointed that the world hasn't ended.
Because I think if the prophecy was true, if you look at it in some kind of philosophical way, then probably they hinted on some kind of a corruption of our society or culture. But if it is true, then that's why I'm disappointed. I think that the war has to end with a bang. What do you think are the best ways for the world to end?
Well, I can't call them best ways.
Well, the most spectacular.
I would say the most obvious ways for the world to end is some kind of a nuclear war.
Oh, yes, yes.
Or maybe some asteroid, something like that. That seems to be at least realistic and at least logical that that can happen, but hopefully not in our time.
They say that the zombie apocalypse is very popular.
How can it be popular if we haven't ever seen real zombies? Did I tell you about the zombie kids?
No.
I'm going to tell you about that. Okay. So, we know that American manufacturers are very famous for producing very often something that is ridiculous, surprising, and shocking. And I recently read the article about the so-called zombie kit. Mm-hmm. So, the Americans manufactured this zombie kit, actually everything you need in case war against zombies happens.
What's so, in there?
I don't remember. I actually haven't even checked the list what you can find there. But apparently some food, some guns against zombies, some weapons against zombies.
Guns are not very... I don't think that it's very useful.
Well, they are water. They are water guns. And they are filled with...
Holy water?
Holy water, yes.
That's ridiculous against zombies. That doesn't work.
Well, I don't know. I'm just presuming. I'm not sure what exactly you can find in that zombie kit. But some food, some weapons, and some medication in case you get hurt, in case you get wounded by a zombie. This kit is actually not cheap at all. I don't remember exactly how much, but it's like $1,500, something like...
Well, if you have weapons there...
Probably. But weapons, like not real weapons...
Oh, okay. I thought it was real. Okay.
Well, they are real. I mean, they believe that they will help you if you fight with zombies, but it's not like you can buy them in any store.
You can make it yourself.
Probably you can, but this kit is quite expensive. And when I read that, I was like, oh my God, this is really ridiculous. Or as my American friend says, redunculous. Uh-huh. But then I continued reading, and in the second part of the article, there were people who tried these kits. They found them incomplete. They said that these kids lacked some very important items.
Is it based on practice?
I don't know. I was like, what? So just imagine there is this forum where the users complain that the kits are incomplete and they would like in future some more items to be added.
That's serious.
It's not a role play. It's not a game. They believe that for real, in case of this kind of war, this kit will help them. How can this war be possible?
All this fades away in comparison with what I have found in the bottomless Christmas bag of the internet, the defibrillator toaster.
Another picture. That is great.
It is great. You have to put there two slices of bread, yeah? And you have to defibrillate the hell out of this bread. Can you imagine going to the kitchen and using this defibrillator and saying, don't you die on me, damn it. Don't you die. And then calling, nurse, nurse. And then beep, 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 beep.
I like that. I would like to have that as a Christmas present.
Dear listeners, we continue our interview section that lets our listeners get to know us maybe a little bit better. I think that this is a bad idea. Maybe some people think that this is a bunch of weirdos. I don't think that I'm gonna listen to that. Yeah. So today I'm going to interview Asya. I'm going to ask her some questions. I know so little about you. You are such a mysterious person.
Come on. This is absolutely not true.
You never share anything with me. As if I mean nothing to you.
Has it ever occurred to you that probably I have nothing to share?
No, really.
Yesterday my boss told me that I am a very, very open person. And that is probably my biggest problem, that I'm too open, that sometimes people can hurt me. I'm just trying to disagree with you. That I'm not a mysterious person at all. No way.
I think that we have to start with your childhood. First of all, do you have any siblings? I know that you have a brother.
Sister.
And a sister, okay.
I'm the youngest. I was a very big surprise for my mom. And that's true. That's what she told me when I already could understand her. She said, you were not planned. Don't you dare to forget about that. I'm serious. I knew that I was not planned since I was a child. And I have an older brother and an older sister. There's an 11-year difference between me and my brother and a 10-year difference between me and my sister.
I never heard about your sister. I know that your brother works in some t-shirt business, but what about your sister?
My sister is a tailor. Her name is Lena. She lives in Chelny. She's married with two children. She's great. She's awesome. She's a complete opposite of me. Although we are very similar, we look like each other, but I guess our characters are completely opposite. She's very feminine. She's very girlish and very good mother. And I'm not girlish, I'm not modest, I'm not calm. I would say I'm more ambitious than her, but she has always been a very good example for me. I mean, she's not a voracious reader. I can't remember her reading any books. Even when she was in college, she only read the books that she was assigned to read, whereas I'm always reading something. I've always tried to find a book to read, but that is not the thing I pay attention to. I mean, I don't care whether a person reads or not. I don't care. It doesn't matter what kind of college this person graduated from. So what's important is this kind of inner warmth, atmosphere that you feel when you are around this person. And when I'm with my sister, I just feel that she's a very kind person and I feel it.
Did you have any nicknames?
No, not really. My name, my real name is so short and it's so easy to pronounce. Probably the biggest problem for me when I was a child was that commercial on TV about Aunt Asia advertising Tide.
Ah, some anti-Asia.
Anti-Asia, yeah. That was probably something that irritated me when I was at school, because every time I introduced myself, they said, oh, anti-Asia is here in Russian. Yeah, so that was something that got on my nerves. But other than that, no, not really.
And did you like your school years?
Well, I think, yeah.
And overall, when you were a child, was it happy childhood?
Yeah, I liked my school years. Although there were times when I was very lonely, when I felt isolated and misunderstood by other children and by parents. But altogether, I think I had a pretty happy childhood. I remember some conflict with my school teachers. The teachers could either be my friends or my enemy. They were never indifferent to me. I don't know why. Maybe I stood out from the crowd. I don't know. But they always had an opinion about me. And sometimes their opinion was wrong and we had some conflicts. But all in all, yeah, I liked my school years and I liked my childhood.
What do you do to relax?
I watch movies. I read Wikipedia articles about the craziest people. And not like I'm not reading these articles about writers or musicians. Mm-hmm. About very weird people I would never read articles about.
For example,
some DJs. I don't know, I could be just simply reading an article and I would come across a name and it would seem fun, like, I'm curious, who is this person? And I would just copy-paste it in Wikipedia and then I would start reading about this person. So I know a bunch of really unknown names.
Who is the most interesting person that you have ever met?
I think all people are interesting. I can't give you just one name. I think I'm very blessed with my friends and my friends are all very interesting people.
What is the craziest thing that you have ever done? Or maybe like the most spontaneous and craziest thing that you have done?
I never lost my mind. Even when I was doing something spontaneously, it wasn't exactly spontaneous. I still gave it some thoughts, some judgment. I think maybe the craziest thing was when I was 18. I went to Moscow without my mom's permission and I didn't go to the hotel because I didn't have any money for it. And I stayed outside. I spent the night in Moscow outside.
Were you all by yourself?
I was all by myself. I was alone in Moscow. That was probably the craziest thing that I have done.
Tell me about your time in the USA. You weren't just in one place, right? So you actually traveled.
So I did.
Where did you go? And you weren't alone, as I understand.
I was there twice. And in my first visit, I went to California. Mm-hmm. And I traveled around California from north to south, but I didn't have any chance to visit other states. And then the following year, I went to, well, actually, our job contracts were to Colorado, mm-hmm. which was also a very crazy thing to do. We were supposed to go to Colorado with my friend, but we decided not to go to Colorado. We decided to go to Georgia, simply because we had a friend in Georgia. Mm-hmm. But that didn't guarantee us any job, any money, any place, any accommodation. So we just thought, well, we have a meal there. Let's go to Georgia. So that was a bit spontaneous and maybe unwise. Mm-hmm. Because in Colorado, we had a very good job offer. So we went to Georgia. Then, well, we first arrived in New York. We spent about 4 or 5 days in New York. Then we went to Georgia by Greyhound. Then I visited Florida, then South Carolina, North Carolina, Illinois, Texas. No, we didn't go to Texas. We wanted to go to Texas, but we didn't go to Texas. And Illinois, so that was it.
You worked there, right?
I worked in Georgia and in South Carolina, that's it. The rest of the places were just for fun.
How did you travel? Did you travel by car?
I went to Florida by plane, and I went to the rest of the places by car.
The second trip, how long was it?
It was about a year and a half. I don't remember exactly.
And why did you decide to go back?
Why I decided to go back? Mm-hmm. That is a very good question, but I guess I didn't really have any alternative, because although I liked it there very much, I never felt uncomfortable in the United States. I mean, you know, as when you arrive in a foreign country, you feel uncomfortable, as if mm-hmm. you are not at home, as if the people are all strangers, they don't understand you, something like that. You know, you have this feeling. I always have this feeling when I travel abroad. But that was not the case with the United States. When I arrived there in my first visit, and I was only 17. And from the very beginning, I was very happy to be there. I was very comfortable. But I never planned to stay there like for the rest of my life, because I have my family in Russia. I have very strong bonds with my family. So, and when I told my mom that I was going to overstay, she was very disappointed. I remember when I was talking on the phone with her, she was very disappointed. But she told me, okay, well, that is your choice. Mm-hmm. You do, that is your life. You do what you want to do. But then after a year, I just started feeling very ill at ease, as if my mom was sick and I didn't have a chance to see her. And then I started having these terrible dreams that I never see my parents again, something like that. It was more psychological aspect why I went back, simply because I needed that. If I didn't feel that way, I would probably stay for another couple of years. But eventually I would still have gone back, because I can't imagine myself living in another country but Russia. I do not judge those people who move to other countries. It's very personal. But what I don't understand is when people tell, especially those people who do not have any experience in traveling, when they tell that Russia sucks, when they tell that you can't find a decent job here, when they tell that you are so socially unprotected, there are no benefits, there are no guarantees and things like that. And especially when they have nothing to compare with.
So they haven't seen any other places.
Well, I have never had any stereotypes about the United States. Mm-hmm. I never thought that that's a paradise. And a lot of people do think, especially when they ask me, like, why did you go back from paradise to hell? What made you go back? Something like that, you know? It's the same country. And they have a lot of problems. I've seen those Russian immigrants who immigrated to the United States living there and still being not the same as the rest of the people. I don't think that it's worth it. Again, I'm not judging those people who immigrated. It's just, it's a personal choice. I don't like when people say bad things about Russia. I mean, we do have a lot of problems, but let's not be that cruel, that critical.
Tell me about your Asia tour 2012. What countries have you visited?
I visited China, Vietnam, Laos, and then back. Actually, it's pronounced Laos in English, but these people themselves prefer to pronounce it like Lao. They don't like S. So, wow. And then China again.
What was the most exciting part of the trip?
Laos, definitely Laos.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because although I had never been in Asia before, I already knew that China is the most overcrowded country in the world. But this is nothing before you see it with your own eyes. You get tired of Beijing, the capital of China, in after 2-3 days because of the people, the noise, the smells, everything that makes you head go mad. Because there are so many people, so many different smells, so many different noises. You get tired of it. And they are very aggressive in trying to provide their services and customer service. They can even like grab your hand, take you to the taxi, even if you don't want to go to the taxi, something something like that. I don't like that at all. But in contrast to Vietnam and China, Laos is a very peace country, as if they've all reached nirvana. They don't care about jobs, they don't care about tourists, they just sit and relax all day. And Laos used to be a French colony. Actually, the country itself is very poor, but the city, Luang Prabang, used to be a French colony, and the city is very rich. It is protected by UNESCO, and it's a mixture of all this French architecture, all this French tradition with the Buddhist tradition, with the Buddhist culture. There are a lot of Buddhist temples and French villas. It's beautiful.
What was the weirdest thing that you have encountered during this trip?
There are two weirdest things.
Okay.
The first one, they don't speak any English.
Even in China?
Especially in China. And they do not understand the simplest English words like, hello, do you speak English? Do you have any water? They don't understand that. So my friend, who doesn't speak any English at all, communicated better than I did. Because he used gestures, signs, that was much easier. And because their language is so completely different, if you tell them like bread, they don't understand.
Mm.
If you tell them water, they don't understand. So it was, I mean, of course we did find some people who spoke some English, but it's like we have to ask 10 people before we find someone who speaks a little bit of English. That was the first weirdest thing. Mm. And the second weirdest thing is the food. It's not what you think of the Asian food. It's very spicy. Very, very, very spicy. You can't eat that. You can't. Simply can't. You start crying. And they use this kind of herb everywhere. They add it everywhere, and it smells like shampoo. And the problem is that you can't explain that you don't need this herb. They always add it, and you don't know how it looks like. You can only smell it. That was another weirdest thing. But other than that, I think they are the same people, just like we are, and very friendly, very hospitable. I do recommend to visit Asia, and it's very cheap.
What's up with the palm trees?
I love palm trees.
Why?
I think they are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They have a perfect shape, and they are very exotic. I don't know. I'm just crazy about palm trees. I know about 10 different kinds of palm trees. I know how they are called. And every time I see a palm tree, I'm always taking a picture hugging it.
Tell me about your tattoos.
Yeah, sure. I have two tattoos. The first one is on my right shoulder. It's a tiger. And the second one is on the back of my neck. It's a Chinese symbol, and it stands for to belong. It's a verb.
Did you check it in China?
I did. Okay. Yes, I did it actually twice. I checked it twice. Mm. I first checked it when I was in Chicago, and I met a Chinese guy. So I asked him, hey, before we actually start our conversation, tell me what it means. Tell me what it meant. And then when I was in China, I met two girls who spoke very good English. My first question was, what does mean? So they told me, oh, it means to belong. Actually, they told me that the symbol has two meanings. The first one is a verb, to belong. You can belong somewhere and to somebody. Pretty much as in Russian or as in English. For example, I can say, I belong to Russia, or I belong to you, something like that. And another meaning is it's a noun. It's the act of belonging.
Mm,
so it's quite interesting, yeah. And the tiger, I don't know. I just thought that I was born in the year of a tiger. So when I wanted actually to have a dragon, it was supposed to be a two symbol tattoo. The first one was supposed to be on my shoulder, a tiger, and a dragon was supposed to be on my neck. But then I changed my mind and I decided not to do a dragon. So I have a tiger, but I don't have a dragon. I tattooed a tiger when I was at school. I was not even 17 at that time.
Okay.
So I told my mom that that was not a permanent tattoo. she believed me, but then 2 months later she was like, are you sure that's not a permanent one? I was like, no, mom, it's just a very good one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And then 4 months later she was like, it looks like it's permanent. So I was deceiving her like for a year that that was not permanent, but then she just said, come on. Yeah, a Chinese symbol I did when I was in the United States. My friend Elena did an Arabic symbol on her neck, meaning why, and I did a Chinese meaning to belong. So the idea was why belong, to combine to the two meanings of our tattoos. But for me, I just thought that could be interesting because I don't really know where I belong and to whom I belong. So.
What historical figure do you most identify with?
I do not identify myself with historical figures. I identify myself only with the characters of John Fowles, but not with John Fowles himself. I guess he was quite a boring man. He lived all his life isolated, closed in a very small village, so I wouldn't say that I identify myself with him, but with his characters, yes, I do.
If you had an opportunity to travel back in time, what historical figure would you want to have a conversation with, and why?
Hitler. I would like to find out whether he himself believed in fascism, and I would like to see whether he was sane. I wouldn't even mind simply having a very trivial conversation with him to see how adequate he is, because I'm just curious whether he was simply insane and believed in fascism himself, or whether he was quite sane and it was like a game for him and he didn't believe in that, but he enjoyed being so powerful and so influential.
A psychopath,
yeah, exactly. So I would just, as we have already previously discussed, I do have a weakness for psychopaths, so that would probably be the main reason why I would like to meet him.
If you were a superhero, what kind of powers would you want to have?
Teleport, because that would be great. You wouldn't have to spend so much time on traffic. You wouldn't have to spend so much time on traveling from one place to another. And most importantly, nobody would be able to control where you are. So that
No visas.
Yes. So teleport, definitely.
I know that you're fond of music, right? If I'm not mistaken, it's Cranberries.
Cranberries. Wow, you know a lot about me.
I pick up pieces.
Wow.
What else? Lady Gaga, we talked about it. Yeah,
the Cranberries, I love them. Dolores is the best. Lady Gaga. I do like some Russian performers as well. I love Michael Jackson, Madonna, all pop stars. And as for the cinematography, then Winona Ryder is the best. And Kate Winslet and Brad Pitt.
Good.
Enough.
I share most of your, how do you call it?
Infatuations.
Besides Winona Ryder, I don't know, maybe I haven't watched a lot of films with her. And I don't know anything actually about her. That's why I can't say that I like her. But the rest of them, yeah, I can understand you.
I will educate you on Winona.
Yes, okay, all right, deal. And the last question, if you could relive a day of your life again, which would it be and why?
Only one day?
One, yes.
I don't know. I've never seen any sense in reliving some periods of your past, because that is your past, and past is the past. You should let it go.
Goodness, Asha.
Sorry?
Stop criticizing my questions. Go with it.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm not criticizing your questions, they're very good questions, but I'm just explaining why I don't know.
Continue then.
So that's it, I've already finished.
Okay, good. So that's it, I don't have any more questions.
Dear listeners, that was Asia, the weirdest person. Or probably I think too much of myself. Anyway, I'm very excited to have you among the visitors of our group in Vkontakte. You can check us out more regularly and more often. We do like it. We like your attention. And we do teach English on Skype. So if you want to improve your English, and if you maybe just need more practice, we are very happy to have a wonderful time with you. Do write to us, visit us, and listen to us.
Please write to us, because we want to have this regular section with our listeners' emails.
Anne, where are you?
Yes, and please
come back.
We need our listeners. Yes, and since we don't have any emails from our listeners, it's quite disappointing for us because we do want to have this section. So please, if you have time and any inclination to do this, please write to us to info@linguistov.ru. We'll be very grateful. And next time we're going to have a regular news section. And probably in about 2 weeks, we're going to have our next interview with somebody maybe more interesting than us.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Goodbye.
I'm not criticizing your questions. They're very good questions.